now with over 25 years of experience integrating mental health and spirituality, the author of Reclaiming Authenticity, When Ancestors Weep, and Redeeming the Bereaved. Here is Dr. James Houck.
Well, hello, hello, everybody. Good afternoon, wherever you are in the world at this time. Welcome to Reclaiming Authenticity. Reclaiming Authenticity, finding one's courage to reclaim that which has always been in you. Very excited to be with you here today and every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, noon Pacific Time, and everywhere else in between. Well, each and every week, these broadcasts focus on the integration of our spirituality and our mental health, all within the context of relationships with ourselves and others and God or the divine. And the reason why I place this integration of spirituality and mental health in relationships, because when you think about it, we often receive our deepest physical, emotional, psychological, and even spiritual wounds in relationships. However, we can often discover our greatest healing, our strength, our peace, our forgiveness, and love through healthier relationships. Relationships just happen to be the common denominator, if you will, about the background or the backdrop of the context of why we do what we do. Because whenever we transform, whenever we heal, we also transform others by our presence, our grace, and understanding. But first and foremost, the transformation begins with us. Well, I am Dr. James Houck, and if you would like more information about me or to leave me your comments about today's show, I invite you to visit the website. It's www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. That's www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. Now, if you would also like to be part of today's show, I invite you to call in. That number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I'll be taking your calls after the break a little bit later on in the show. And just in case you can't stay with us for the entire broadcast, these shows are podcasted. In case you want to go back and listen again, or you can go back into the archives and listen to previous shows, just be sure to leave me your comments and let me know what you think. Well, for those of you new to the program, I just want to say first and foremost, welcome aboard. And I would just like to say that I'm just kind of lay a little bit of a foundation here that I am a firm believer that all of us come into the world already equipped and graced with everything we need in this life in terms of our giftedness, or our strengths, our character traits, personality, skills, and talents. And yet there's times when we go along in life and due to some unpleasant experiences, we may be convinced that we need to hide our giftedness, or we are not going to really show our talents, or we may believe that we just don't have any strengths to, you know, to tap into. Or we might push that giftedness way down so that others can see it, because perhaps at a previous point in our lives, those things that we have shared with others were exploited, and we ended up being tremendously hurt in the process. Or another possibility is that perhaps when you were younger, you were told that you would never amount to anything. Or whatever other voice you heard telling you that there's nothing special to you. And that's nothing but 100% grade A hogwash. Because at any rate, we just simply do not realize our giftedness. And as a result, we just go through this life functioning from a place of woundedness, from one relationship after another, instead of a place of healing, or a place of wholeness, and truly embracing our uniqueness, our hachetos, and the uniqueness of others. In fact, there is so much more to us than what we have become so far, and this is what reclaiming authenticity is all about, finding the courage to reclaim that which has always been in you. Well, how is your heart today? I hope it is well and you are well. I hope that even if you're struggling today, that you'll be able to find some rest and comfort and peace that you need. Well, welcome to February. Here we are, beginning of another month. And for those of us on the East Coast, it was quite interesting. We had a significant snowfall amounts. I think in New York City, they had a foot and a half of snow. And where I am, just outside of Philadelphia, we had about 8-9 inches of snow and so forth. And that just made for an interesting couple of days. And of course, who can forget the groundhog? You know, the groundhog came out of its hole and saw a shadow, went right back in. And according to tradition, well, you know, that meant 6 more weeks of winter, much to the chagrin and groans of the crowd. Yeah, what are you going to do? It's a groundhog. But I am convinced that Groundhog's Day is, I'll put this politely, that a lot of people see Groundhog's Day as just a means of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and partying. And then after the groundhog does his or her thing, then they go out for breakfast. So anyway, but yeah, it's always a good time, always just in good humor. But we'll see how things go. 6 more weeks of winter. We'll see how close the groundhog came this year. Now, I will preface that because I think we're supposed to get another 1 to 3 inches this weekend out where I am. So, you know, keep the shovels handy. We're not out of the woods yet. I've also seen those significant amounts of snowfall in March and even April, early April. So we'll just have to play it by ear, take one day at a time, and we'll go from there and we will get through it. So anyway. One of the things that I have experienced in teaching and counseling others is that given the conditions that exist in the world today, a lot of people struggle to find a sense of meaning and purpose and direction in their lives. And as with most initial thoughts and feelings and behaviors, there's often an underlying issue or issues that is just pretty much, for lack of a better word, kicking up a sense of hopelessness or fear or angst in people. And one of these underlying issues is a loss of inspiration. And where there is seemingly a loss of inspiration, there also comes with it a loss of creativity, a loss of courage, a loss of hope. So I thought it would be essential that we could at least take a closer look at inspiration with the hope that you rediscover yours. And, you know, first of all, I just want to say that inspiration really didn't go anywhere. It's always within us. It's always there. You know, this is something that we come into the world with, just like we come into the world with our gifts and skills, talents and graces. And inspiration is always within us, waiting for us to tap into it and to manifest something life-inspiring and life-giving to others. Well, for instance, earlier this week, I was reminded of an African story about Ubuntu, U-B-U-N-T-U, Ubuntu. Now, the word Ubuntu is a Bantu term meaning humanity. It's often translated as I am because we are, or humanity towards others. But primarily, it is Ubuntu is used more in a philosophical sense to mean the belief in a universal bond of sharing that connects all of humanity. The belief in a universal bond of sharing that connects all of humanity. And there is an incredible practice that is observed in many Southern African communities. And just let me read to you this story real quick. It says, in certain regions of South Africa, when someone does something wrong, He is taken to the center of the village and surrounded by his tribe. And for 2 days, he listens to his family, his friends, acquaintances. And he listens while they speak of all the good he has done. They believe each person is good, yet sometimes we make mistakes, which is really a cry for help. They unite in this ritual to encourage the person to reconnect with his true nature. Now, the belief is that unity and affirmation have more power to change behavior than shame and punishment. This is known as Ubuntu, humanity towards others. Now, that's a pretty incredible story, right? In fact, the more I thought about this story, the more I couldn't help just being inspired by the depth of this word, Ubuntu. I mean, just imagine for a minute, being the one who was caught doing something wrong, okay? And you are placed in the center of your community, you know, and having all of our family members or friends or colleagues and acquaintances speak glowing affirmations one after another of all that they see in you. And not for 2 minutes, not for 2 hours, but for 2 days, 48 hours, you are told and shown your very best self from the eyes of those who know you and love you. Now, not to dismiss the wrong that we may have committed, but I think it's there to remind us that there's, more to us than perhaps we realize, but we often show to others when we think no one is watching and listening. In fact, you never know how you're going to inspire somebody else. Ubuntu. The belief in a universal bond of sharing that connects all of humanity. I am because we are. You are because we are. Now, imagine coming away from that ritual after hearing all these things for 2 days. I mean, would we be so inclined then to go out and commit another wrongdoing? Well, not likely. In fact, I think, we may be so inspired by what others see in us that perhaps we would vow right then and there to show others only the best of ourselves in all that we do and say. I mean, this is the transforming power of Ubuntu. That's the life-giving presence of inspiration. Because at that point, I think you realize how connected you are to others, that every thought, every word, every action affects somebody else. In fact, we don't often understand the ramifications of our thoughts and words and deeds that they have on others. We just think, oh, well, we did it and, no big deal or whatever. We just don't realize that, as I often explain to kids, that we live in an echo, that whatever we do eventually does come back to us. So, I'll even take this one step further. This is where I also believe that the idea of self-inflicted emotional wounds come from. That we don't often realize that when we harm another, we're harming ourselves. And when we create prisons of, let's say, resentment or contempt or even ridicule towards, somebody else, we keep ourselves locked away in a prison of bitterness and self-loathing and remorse. Or, in other words, to put it into the phrase of the rock band The Eagles, how often do we live our lives in chains and we never know that we have the key? Well, anybody out there in radio land ever see the movie Pay It Forward? It came out around 2000 and it was set in Las Vegas. And it had mixed reviews. I was surprised about it, but it just had mixed reviews. The story, if you've never seen it, I won't share too much, but I'll give you the gist of it. The story begins with a school teacher giving his students an assignment to come up with a plan that will change the world for the better. Okay, not too tall of an assignment, but yeah, just come up with a plan. You're going to change the world, okay? And you got 6 weeks to do it. So anyway, one of his students, Trevor, devises a charitable program, as it were, based on the interaction of good deeds. And he calls it his plan, Pay It Forward, which means that the recipient of such good deeds, or let's say a favor, then has to do a random favor for three other people, rather than wanting to keep the favor to himself or herself. Now, the catch is that this favor needs to be something that the recipients cannot do for themselves, or let's say complete on their own. So, for example, in the movie, Trevor does a favor for three people, asking each of them to pay it forward now by doing random acts of kindness or favors for three other people, who would then in turn do, you know, random acts of kindness and favors for their three other people, and so on and so on. And it just it just increased significantly the number of people who were blessed, the number of people who were affected by the kindness of others. And it really caught on. Just a phenomenal movie. And for Trevor, you know, Trevor's first good deed was that he allowed a homeless man to live in his garage. Kind of forget the movie. I don't think he even asked his mother, but he just said, yeah, sure, go ahead. Just, you know, make yourself comfortable in the garage. And this homeless man was so touched by the kindness of Trevor that he then paid it forward by fixing Trevor's mother's car so that then she could get to work. And then later, this homeless man also paid it forward by later talking to a suicidal woman who was about to jump off a bridge and talked her down and saved her life and so forth and so on. You get the idea. I mean, I won't share the rest of the movie, but I'll let you watch it for yourself. You know, you could, like I said, I'm sure you could pull this up on Netflix, and it's just a very nice movie. You have a lot of great discussions, and you can even sit there and just wonder, you know, how can I implement these things? How can I pay it forward? Okay, I mean, but you come away from that movie and you say, you know, talk about inspiration. I mean, I'm sure we've all heard inspiring stories of how a person or a group of people have overcome incredible odds in order to achieve their dreams or even to make their lives better. I mean, many times just by living behind the scenes, so to speak, you know, people just going about their lives just very quietly, you know, not wanting to call attention to themselves and so forth. But just let's consider for a moment. I mean, how many times in your life have you felt inspired? How many times? How many times in your life have you felt inspired? I mean, it doesn't have to be one specific thing. It could be related to a number of things. But how many times have you felt that, let's just say, that warmth, that inspiration, goosebumps, or whatever you want to call it, but you know by what you've experienced, you've been inspired? You know, maybe you're looking at a sunrise and you're inspired because you just feel so insignificant in such a large, large world. Or other people might feel inspired, you know, just being surrounded with their loved ones. And yet still others feel inspired whenever they hear the stories of people overcoming, you know, just tremendous odds. Well, how many times have you felt inspired to do something for another person with no expectation on the outcome? No anticipation of what you think might happen, or no anticipation of how well do you think it's going to be received, that you just don't care about that. You just want to do something, you know, random to make their life better because you've been inspired. Okay. Just some random act of kindness. Well, how many times have you been asked to pay it forward? mean, maybe not directly. You know, after somebody did something kind to you, they say, okay, now you gotta do for three more others so that they can do it, and so on and so forth. Yeah, maybe not that directly, but what about indirectly? And for that matter, I mean, what do we do once we've found our inspiration, once we are inspired? How do we manifest that inspiration in today's world? You know, with so many issues and so many problems, and people might just be limited and just say, well, I don't even know where to begin. It's just, I don't know. I just don't know where to begin. And there's just so many issues. And they often struggle with inspiration. But I tend to think that they perhaps, you know, make it more difficult than what it has to be. Oh, there's a, you know, there's a struggle there. And this is why I labeled today's broadcast as the perspiration of inspiration. You know, because we can work up a sweat. It's going to require us to do something. But how do we manifest that inspiration? Okay. Well, there are many different definitions out there of inspiration, but I have to share with you that the one I like the best is that inspiration is simply referred to as breath or spirit, as in the very breath of God, the inspiration of God going out. And something I also like to share with the kids is, like, whenever we speak, we can only speak breathing out. Or we can only speak, you know, with our breath going forward. There's no way we can carry on any conversation, let alone quote the alphabet, when we are breathing in. All right? You want to try it a second? Go ahead. All right, that's long enough. You can't do it. It's just how we are designed. You know, so whenever we speak, that breath goes forward. It comes out from us into the ears of others. And whenever you place inspiration in the context of the breath of God that goes out, there's always this creative element that's involved. For existence, you know, in the creation stories, God spoke and it was good. God spoke and it was so. I mean, elsewhere, even the Spirit of God, as it's often referred to, is often manifested as the breath of God that creates. The breath is inspiration. In fact, another great, great custom, the Maori people of New Zealand have a traditional greeting called honge. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, honge, which involves touching foreheads and noses together whenever they greet another person and allowing each other to share the same breath. And it's a way of seeing each other on a soul level, you know, seeing each other as equal. Okay, but it's something that we not only have in common, we all must inhale and exhale, but when we share the same breath, we'll say that you are because we are. We're going back to Ubuntu again. So, inspiration. The breath of God manifested in the very breath and soul we share with each other. Anybody out there starting to connect the dots yet? See where I'm going with this? Okay. Stay with me now. So how do we go from this inspiration that is more or less breathed into us to manifesting something life-giving and transformative to others? Well, there are moments in our lives where inspiration is, it just comes on us or comes up from within, and we just experience incredible energy. And we just are inspired to work hard, or we get those incredible insights that just, yeah, that makes sense. This is a better way of doing it, or what if we do this over here, or something. But it goes way beyond just merely brainstorming. Because there are other times in our lives when inspiration needs time to develop within us, to take root in our lives, just as you would plant a seed in the ground, and that how that's going to take time to, you know, for the roots to go down. You know, because with any plant, you know, tree, vegetable, whatever you have, you know, the roots have to be firmly anchored in good soil. before it breaks through and then comes up, you know, above ground and continues to grow and eventually bear a flower or a fruit. And this will require patience on our part, because most of the time we just want to like hurry up, let's go, come on, you know, we were inspired and we just want to like just hit the ground running, and it's like, well, maybe we're not quite ready yet. Maybe some more things need to take, you know, need to occur or to take place first. But we hold, and we can hold this inspiration within us and just allow it to germinate, allow it to take shape, allow it to come forth, allow it to continually speak life to not only ourselves, but also perhaps to others. Okay. But one of the interesting things about inspiration is that I guarantee you this will happen. It will pull us out of our comfort zones and into a courage zone. I mean, it's something that's going to pull us out of ourselves, often from a place of, well, okay, I like doing what I'm doing because it's predictable, it's easy, I'm safe, I'm secure, I can relax, I enjoy doing the things that I know or the things that come easy. I don't have to worry about taking a risk, okay? That's our comfort zone. But when inspiration comes along, it's going to pull us out of there. It's going to put us into the courage zone, you know, this place of risk or adventure or a place of, well, things just might be a little difficult, or, you know, because these things that we've never tried. Or it's going to require a sense of bravery on our part or a sense of higher duty, or maybe even looking at things that, well, I'm afraid of, or just unexplored territory, whatever it is. It will pull us into that place of the unknown, but not being alone. Well, I would really love to hear your experiences of inspiration and having to pay it forward or wanting to pay it forward. So again, if you'd like to call in, the number is 888-627-6008, and I'll be taking your calls after the break. Again, you are listening to Reclaiming Authenticity, and I am your host, Dr. James Houck, and I'll be back with you in 1 minute. Okay, welcome back, everybody. I'm Dr. James Houck, and you are listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. Before we continue, I just want to share with you a little bit of what's coming up next week. I think you're really going to like this show. Next week's show is February the 12th. You know, we're going to be in the middle of February already. But next Friday, 3:00 in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, noon Pacific Time. And the title of this broadcast is, What Was Jesus Doing in India? What was Jesus doing in India? Now, according to the Bible, you know, there was a time in Jesus' life where he is not mentioned. And I'm talking about the Gospels, okay? His ages from, let's say, 13 to when he was a boy in the temple to around age 30, when he shows himself to John the Baptist, and that's when Jesus began his earthly teachings, okay? But this is a story that I had no idea ever existed. You know, it's often referred to as the silent years of Jesus. And nobody really knew where he was, even though we do have writings from, let's say, the Gospel of Thomas and some of the things that Jesus was doing as a young boy. But I was having a conversation with some of the sadhgurus over in India, and you know, they knew it was a Christian, and so talking about Jesus, and I don't even know how we got on this subject, but just talking about you know Jesus's early life and what he was doing, and then around age 30 he was started his earthly ministry and so forth. And one of the gurus said, well, we know where he was. He was here in India. And like I said, I just never heard that story before. So I had to ask them, like, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And they shared all the research that had been done. And in fact, there were some scrolls that were found in the ancient temples that mention a man who came from the Israel area, from the Palestine. Well, it wasn't called Palestine back then. Or, yeah, it was, because the Romans were in charge. But it was a time in which a young boy just came amongst the the trade caravans and came to India and just sat amongst the gurus and spoke and learned and taught and grew up. And like I said, I had never heard this story before, so I had to do a lot of research on this. And it's interesting, you know, over here in the Western part of the world, we refer to Jesus as Jesus. But over in India, he's referred to as Isa. I-S-S-A, Isa. And he said, for next week, I'll be sharing just a whole host of those stories and the discoveries that were made at the time when Jesus lived in India. Okay. So, earlier in the show, we were talking about inspiration as the breath of God. And, you know, there are other moments in our lives where, you know, inspiration, you know, comes on very quickly. And I don't know about you, but there's sometimes when I've felt inspiration that just woke me up, you know, and here I am at, you know, in the middle of the night, and I'm having to write down as fast as I can the thoughts or some sort of inspiration coming upon me. And, or, you know, and then there's other times where inspiration needs to take root in our lives. And I made the analogy of putting a seed in the ground. That's going to take time to take root, and how the roots have to be firmly anchored in good soil. And just a lot of activity is going on behind the scenes, or I should say underground, before the plant breaks through above ground, continues to grow, and eventually bears a flower or a fruit. And this is going to require patience on our part, because, you know, we want to hurry up and rush things. We want to just say, well, come on, you know, the inspiration is there. Let's go. Let's hit the ground running and so forth. And sometimes it just requires us to wait. Sometimes it requires us to be patient. I mean, sometimes it just requires us to sit and meditate and allow the effect of inspiration to fully do its work. Well, once upon a time, and I love this story, but once upon a time, a spiritual master was walking with one of his students, and they were discussing spirituality. And the young student was troubled because, as let's say many students are from time to time, he was impatient with what he perceived as a lack of his spiritual progress. In his mind, he thought, you know, he believed that he ought to be further along in his path for, you know, the search for truth. And he struggled to find his inspiration. Now, you know, he believed that he was doing everything right. You know, he studied hard, he prayed, he sat in meditation, and he did everything his teacher asked him to do. But he still felt as though he should be further along. Okay? And at one point in their walk, the master and the student came to this beautiful garden of roses. And they stood there for some time, just admiring the beauty and just smelling the fragrances. And the master smiled as he pointed out just the numerous colors that they were seeing and just how each rose just had a slight variation of fragrance than the other. And they were just each in their various stages of development as roses. Well, the student, unfortunately, did not fully understand what the master was trying to teach him with this lesson. Because, yes, every moment in our lives is a teachable moment for us. There are times when, I mean, let's be honest, we simply just don't get the point of how inspiration works in different ways in our lives. Anyway, the master, he saw that his student wasn't understanding the lesson, so he just picked a rose that was just in the early stages of its bloom, and he handed this rose to his student, and he asked him, "Open it, if you can." And the student looked curiously at the rose, and then he proceeded to use his thumb and forefinger to gently push the rose open. You know, to just kind of gently widen it and so forth. And to his surprise, the rose started to fall apart, and it didn't resemble any of the other beautiful roses in full bloom. In fact, when the student was done, the many petals had fallen to the ground, and eventually the rose was ruined. And the master gently smiled as he took the rose back from his student. And he told his student that you cannot force roses to bloom because they bloom in their own time. And someday he too will bloom in God's time and according to God's grace. And even though roses are still in their buds and have yet to bloom, they're still roses because they are connected to the roots, anchored firmly in the ground, receiving all the water and nourishment from the sun and soil. And of course, if you're a fan of roses, you know, you know when roses have opened and they are in their full bloom, the fragrance is enjoyed by many, many people because they have reached this point of maturity. And while the student finally understood this lesson and realized that his role then was to continue in, you know, his faithful integration of his knowledge of what he was learning and his own personal experiences and other studies. And he was also to discover his own giftedness, or as I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, his hachaitas, what was unique about him. And he was also to just continue developing his skills, developing, let's say, compassion and, you know, patience with himself and patience with others. And above all, his role was then to continue just being anchored to his roots, to his faith and his spiritual foundation. And by trusting in God's grace and over time, he too would blossom. I mean, you talk about inspiration. Yeah. Breathe on me, O breath of God. That's inspiration. And if we're honest with ourselves, as I said before, how often do we get caught up in the hurry up to bloom stage, and we forget that even in the budding stage, we are growing? And if we're faithful to this integration of inspiration and our spiritual practices and experiences, along with our daily awareness of truth, of God's grace, transformation is inevitable. It's going to occur. It's just a matter of when. And even when transformation occurs, there's still even more transformation to occur. But again, in God's timing, according to God's grace, okay? Inspiration. Well, As a mental health therapist, I also see this kind of impatience in clients who want to hurry up and get through counseling, you know, because after all, they just want to feel better. And I can relate to that. I understand where they're coming from. They don't know how they're going to get better. They just want to feel better. You know, they just don't want things crashing down around them anymore. They're tired of it. And then how do they rebuild their lives and so forth? But they want to do it yesterday. Okay. And, you know, many times I have to reassure them that their psychological, emotional, and even spiritual healing cannot be rushed, because the most important thing is their healing must be complete. I mean, still, some believe that they're doing something wrong because they don't see the changes fast enough. But don't worry, because inspiration will come. The breath of God. Now, yeah, true. As I said, many people just want to feel better and as quickly as possible. But truth be told, I mean, healing takes time. Transformation takes time. In fact, often, you know, a person's spiritual growth occurs when they are engaged in a, let's say, an unlearning learning stage. And this is what I mean by that, or this statement, that people just might need to learn, or I should say, unlearn assumptions about how the world or God should work for them. You know, maybe we are taught that, well, if we do this and such, then God will do this and such. Maybe not always, or this is how the world works. And, you know, we're just like, well, that didn't work out according to what I've been told or how I've been taught. And we have to unlearn those assumptions. And people will also need to unlearn habits, or let's say other behaviors that have led them down an unhealthy emotional, mental, or even a spiritual path. And for some people, they're going to have to let go of the roles that they took on that have created certain dysfunctions in the family. And still, others will need to unlearn sabotaging behaviors, you know, that are based on relationships, wounds suffered in the past. Yet, all the while people are unlearning these and other unhealthy aspects of their lives, they will also need to relearn and reclaim those life-giving aspects of themselves. Because if there's one thing I wish for you to take away from this program today, it's this. The more we are faithful to the life-giving spiritual integration, sooner or later, life-giving spiritual transformation will occur. And inspiration has a lot to do with it. And a key ingredient, as I said, for any manifestation of inspiration is the element of hope, especially when it comes to making sense of our lives, especially when it comes to, well, where do we go from here? Or now what can I do? And so forth. You know, there's a great quote by Thomas Merton that I just love, and it captures the essence of hope that's needed along a spiritual journey. And the one I'm referring to is the short poem that he had entitled Seize the Day. And he writes, "I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will doesn't mean that I'm actually doing so. Yet, I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, then you will lead me beside the right road, though I may not know anything about it. And therefore, I will always trust you, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone." You know, what Merton is saying here is that he doesn't need to see where, you know, his life will go or where inspiration will take him, because that's not where his hope lies. Yeah, but rather his hope lies squarely in the relationship that he has with God. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. I love that section. There's an old saying out there that that says that we can live about 30 days without food and about 3 weeks without water or 3 minutes without oxygen, but we simply cannot live 3 seconds without hope. Hope is that powerful. Hope is that transformative in us and through us. But the true lesson is that we need to examine what we place our hope in. What inspires us? And if there was ever a group of people who exemplify hope on a daily basis and inspiration, it's the people who farm. I mean, they think, you know, think about it. They till the soil, they remove the rocks and other obstacles that would get in the way of having a healthy crop. Then they have to plant the seed and cover it back up with soil. And let's face it, seed is expensive. But they put it in the ground anyway. And all this is done by faith in the hopes that the sun and water and nature's fertilizer, the seed will produce wonderful crops. And when you think about it too, February, even though we're at the very beginning of it, February 5th, February is often the month that people begin planting seeds or seedlings in order to have plants for the upcoming spring. Okay. And everyone needs hope. It's just part of us, something ingrained in us from birth and how we see the world. But what we hope in and what we hope for, namely, say, paying attention to inspiration, can either bring us misery or it's going to bring us peace. And, I mean, we know this lesson. You know, many people are taught that material things will bring happiness and contentment, and nothing wrong with material things. We all need food and clothing, shelter, security, achievements, goals, whatever. But I sit down with a lot of people who, by all outward appearances, have it all together. But inside, they are miserable. Inside, they are wounded. Inside, they are broken. And it's true, money doesn't necessarily buy you happiness or it doesn't buy you love, and it certainly doesn't quell the storms that rage within us. So, where does this inspiration come from in your life? The very breath of God. How God speaks, we take it in, our lives are transformed, and we are, like God, co-creators in that which we are doing. It's just a fascinating phenomena. And said I could talk about it, inspiration for a long, long time, but I know I only have an hour. So it's just something that I encourage each and every person to, seek that inspiration. And, allow it to pull you out of your comfort zones into a courage zone where things may not always be mapped out. Things may not always unfold or go according to the plan. Or you just might end up paying it forward with random acts of kindness to people that you may never see again. But it doesn't matter because that's not our focus. Our focus is just to hopefully inspire others with what we do or we say. And inspiration is very contagious. I'm sure you've all seen this commercial, it's Super Bowl weekend coming up, and there's going to be lots of Super Bowl commercials out there that we can always sit around and laugh at or, take something away from. But how many of you have ever seen the commercial where it touches on this theme of inspiration? It touches on the theme of, just a random act of kindness, that somebody else is watching us. And I think in one of the commercials, one gentleman is just walking in a busy city and he sees some paper on the ground And so, you know, no big deal. He just reaches down and he picks it up. He places it in the trash can. But one person is watching him do this, and they become inspired, and they're thinking, well, if he can do this, why can't I do some sort of random act of kindness? And so we see for the rest of the commercial that other people are inspired to do for others, just minding their own business, just paying attention to that inspiration and those opportunities to materialize the kindness within. And of course, other people watch and other people are inspired, and you know, they too, shall we say, pay it forward, perhaps in a different way in which we've been talking about today. But nonetheless, there is a tremendous sense of inspiration and kindness and life-changing moment that occurs. And that's the whole point of that commercial. We never know who's watching us. You know, we never know who's listening to us. We just never know. And we can't, you know, live our lives, you know, going around and thinking, okay, if I do this, then other people will take notice. And it's like that's not, you know, a healthy way of looking at it, because then you're worried on, you know, have I done enough today? You know, did I do what I was supposed to do today? Nothing wrong with asking that question. I think it's, you know, a good reflection. But if we get focused on the amount, then we're going to get caught up in the numbers or how frequent we do something. And that's going to pull us away from that inspirational spontaneity that I believe needs to occur. You know, because when we are inspired, when we get in touch with that breath of God, and we breathe that in, just like, let's say, we would breathe in the air from another person, you know, taking that cue from the Maoris, you know, we realize that we have a shared humanity, that we all need air. We all need water. We all have basic needs. And is there some way in which we could be, you know, a part of that to help somebody out? Because of perhaps when we were in another situation, somebody maybe unbeknownst to us helped us out, and we were reminded of their kindness. And perhaps you may have said to yourself that if I ever get to a point in, you know, my life where I can do this for somebody else, I'm going to. Well, it doesn't matter how long ago you said that. That was inspiration talking. And maybe it took to this time, to this day, for the seed to really germinate and break through. And now it's ready to start to bear, you know, to bear some fruit in your life. All you have to do then is act upon it without worrying about, well, how's it going to be received, or is anybody watching, or any other conclusion that we want to tell ourselves, like, well, that was good. That was effective. Okay. But inspiration will cause us to perspire. It will cause us to roll up our sleeves. It will cause us to work. It will cause us to do things. And it's going to cause us to do things perhaps in different areas of our lives in which we never even imagined. Okay? You know, but I kind of like that about inspiration. It doesn't keep us comfortable. You know, it's always moving us to, yeah, but if you did it here, you can do it there. And if you shared your gifts with, you know, a group of people here, what's to keep you from sharing your gifts and graces with people over there, and so forth? You know, you know, you've also heard this saying, I'm sure, but, you know, a lot of times I hear, you know, well, the sky's not the limit, your mind is. And how often do we sell ourselves short and just say, well, I can't do that. Or, you know, there's somebody else out there more talented or more gifted, they would be able to do it. And yet how many times people, our neighbors, whoever, have been crying out to God, send somebody. Send somebody to meet this need in me. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know where. But hear my prayer today. And there we are. We just never know that we could actually be an answer to somebody's prayers. just like the person who might have helped us, they don't have any idea that we are asking God to send somebody or to help or to meet this need in us. But that's kind of how inspiration works at times, going behind the scenes. But it's up to us to take it and manifest, you know, that creativeness, you know, that would be a blessing to others and to improve their lives. And it is quite life transforming. Even if people don't know what to call it, they know that they, you know, have been touched in some way, and they are never the same. So look for those opportunities, not only for inspiration. Ask God for inspiration. God is faithful. God will give you inspiration, but also be ready to do something with it. I mean, because we could be inspired by just a sunset or a sunrise and like, okay, that's beautiful. That warms my heart. But if it doesn't change us, you know, it's a sunrise. It's just a sunset. But if we're looking at a sunrise or a sunset and we just realize just how vast the universe is and our place in the universe, you know, with our vast self and just how we are so much a part of it and yet cared for, that is truly amazing, truly, truly amazing. So the inspiration that comes from God is shared with us. We can be co-creators with all that God is doing, because the inspiration from God, there is always an element of creativity. And that could just be one of our underlying gifts that we have yet to fully tap into. We may have this tremendous skill and this creative side to us that the world has yet to see. That people who have just been crying out for, you know, show me a sign. In not only 2020, but also 2021, you know, how much longer, you know, how long do we have to wait? Can it get much worse? Or whatever cry of the soul is coming from us. We just never know that we could be an answer to somebody's prayer because we have paid attention to how we've been inspired. And as I said, when we show somebody that kind of kindness and that life-changing behavior, they may just go on and pass it, you know, play it forward or pass it along to somebody else to be a blessing to them. Inspiration is contagious because it bears with it life and truth and peace. Well, I'm Dr. James Houck, and you've been listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. I'm so glad you're able to share this hour with me. In the meantime, I invite you to mark on your calendar for next week, February the 12th, that Friday, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, noon Pacific Time, and where we'll be meeting right back here. Okay. But until then, please, everybody, be safe, stay out of trouble, and God bless. Bye-bye for now.
For an answer, or just to leave 1,000 comments, or prodding to buy a book by Dr. Houck, it's all there. Just wander on over to ReclaimingAuthenticity.com and click around. And we'll see you next Friday at noon Pacific Time on PBS Radio TV.